Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer.
Get into this word today. We're talking about Imago Dei. And that is a Latin word meaning the image of God. And I mentioned last week that 2 years ago this month, we began this series on Imago Dei. In the middle or the middle of the pandemic. And the Lord put on my heart to return to this topic. Because knowing who you are in God and being fulfilled in that knowledge is so key. And now on the back end of the pandemic and having survived and gone through it and have had loss in some way or other with friends and activities. We also lost a piece of ourselves too in terms of our habits and our patterns. Although some of those things, it's good to get rid of some stuff, amen? But we don't want things to go away by pandemics. But however, whatever comes in life, God is with us. God may not send it, but God may use it. Amen. And so we've learned some lessons during the pandemic. And now we're on this side. And I want us to understand that we were never, ever in danger of losing ourselves. Amen. We were never in danger of forgetting who God is or not knowing what his will was. For example, even though we could not have service in person, the word did not change. The Bible still said, assemble yourselves together. Amen. So we didn't do it for a season. It didn't change the word. But we were doing what's best for the people. Now we're back together. And although some people haven't got the message yet, you know, the Bible hadn't changed, y'all. We still assemble. All right. But so I want today to continue in this series. So I want to get into this right now. Our topic today, Imago Dei, the life you live. Say the life I live. And we'll explain that title in just a moment. Let's go to our foundation scripture from Genesis chapter 1. A bit of review from last time. Genesis 1:26. If you can't read the screen, read with me, please. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Key phrase, God said, let us make man or mankind, that's a generic man, not male, but all people, in our image, in our likeness. Say, I am made in God's image, in God's likeness. And that term image is so important. That's the basis upon which we have that phrase, Imago Dei. And we said this to you last time, knowing who you are is foundational to both a healthy self-image and a strong sense of purpose. So that's why we want to emphasize that we're all made in God's image. I say all, not just Christians only, every human, every person. The best person, the worst person, the most lost person, you never lose God's image. Now, we may not fulfill it, we might not live up to it. That's why I want to make people know God loves you. How do I know that? Because he made you in his image and likeness, far above the animal kingdom, even above angels. You know, angels sinned as well. Angels fell away from God, but God did not send Christ to save angels. They became demons and Satan. They're gone. It's over for them. But he sent Jesus to save people. Because we are made in God's image and likeness. And we should let people know that. Not just only in preaching, but just as a matter of fact. That you have not evolved from apes and monkeys and slime in the ground and all that. No, no, no. You may act like apes and monkeys, but you weren't, the message is, child, young person, youngest, you know, when they can hear you and no words, tell them, you're made in God's image and likeness. Right? Have them say it back to you. I am made in God's image and likeness. That's the message people need to get.
That's right.
Even before they know Christ.
Right.
Because if they start with that foundation, it will be easier for them to navigate the foolishness in this world. Amen, somebody? All right. Our text for today, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Again, our topic today is the life you live. All right, so Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 reads as follows. Again, with me if you can. See the screen. Here we go. I bring mine back up. All right, here we go. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. This is a powerful text. It's a statement of our reality, a statement of our imago Dei. Something only people can say who know who they are or want to know who they are in Christ. Now, the background of this text, when you read Galatians chapter 1 and chapter 2, you find out that Paul was dealing with people who were not clear about who they were. And he was living at a time when the church was very young. The church was in its infancy. And so the world was really under the dominance of Judaism, under a religion called Gnosticism, which is essentially a mind thought type religion, which is common even to this day. And so Paul dealt with people who had their own perspective about God and didn't recognize that Jesus, is God. He shows the nature of God. But when people are in their own minds and in their own feelings, anything might come out their mouth. Amen. Or from their lives. And so that's the nature of Paul's day. And he was often challenged and he had to stand up for truth. And he suffered a lot, but he got the word out. And so we want to understand the context in which Paul spoke. And we'll get more into that as we go through this. Now, here's the Barclay translation of Galatians 2 and 20. It reads, I am alive, but it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life that I am now living, although it's still in the flesh, is a life which is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not going to cancel out the grace of God. For if I can get right with God by means of the law, then Christ's death was quite unnecessary. Is that clearer? So in Apostle Paul's day, and in our day, there was the concept that Jesus is not enough. And additional religious philosophies and practices are needed. That's what Paul was dealing with. Jesus not enough. We need to have other things. We need to have, rules and regulations and certain types of garb and all these things. Even to the point where even when Christ was having a simple meal with his disciples, the Pharisees said, you haven't washed your hands. Now, not wash just for clean, but wash in a ceremonial way. There was 10 commandments. And the Pharisees and religious people had 600 other things they came up with. They had a whole bunch of stuff, y'all. And one of them was you had to wash your hands in a ceremonial way before you eat. Jesus would be like, y'all hungry? Let's eat. Get the sanitizer out if you got stuff. You know what I'm saying? Jesus went out of his way to not do what they said. Because he wanted to show people, I'm enough. I'm enough. Father God, me, the Holy Spirit, we are enough. The one God is enough. Say, God's enough. But to this day, people want to add stuff on. Because they want to control people. People are offended at the idea. You don't need me no more? Don't need you. Not for salvation. Come on, somebody. To know God, don't need you. For God to love me, don't need you for that. So people who are in the business of religion and controlling people, that's a problem for them. But for those who follow Christ, and those of us who are leaders who follow Christ, it's a blessing. It's less work for us.
Amen.
If y'all walk in the Word, do what Jesus says, there's less counseling, there's less deliverance going on. Amen, somebody. And we still do things to help people. But you teach people well, they prosper, they got money, they got health, they love the spouses, love the kids, kids are right. Come on, somebody. Don't bounce off the walls and stuff all the time. They bounce off the walls sometime, you know. It's kids. What I'm saying is, if we teach people Jesus is enough, you are Imago Dei. You got image of God in you. That's going to help people live better. Amen, somebody? I'm preaching to the choir, you know what I'm saying? Y'all know this. Y'all know this stuff already. All right, now, the just shall live by faith. We read this in Romans chapter 1, Galatians 3, and other places. The just shall live by faith, not by religious practice, not by what somebody said, not by the rules and regulations somebody gave you. Jesus is enough. So we live by faith. So here's a quote from William Barclay. The life at peace with God is not attained by futile, never-ending, ever-defeated effort. It can only be had by casting himself on the love and mercy of God as Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ. Love that statement. That is, you know, we don't come to peace with God by this never-ending, ever-defeated effort. So when we try to do it, it never ends because it's never enough. But then it always ends in defeat. Everything we try to do to get right with God, quote unquote, it ends in defeat. So until we say, Lord Jesus, you're enough. I need you. It's going to be a never ending, ever defeated lifestyle. Now, here's a prescription for a whole and healthy life. Again, we're talking about the life we live. We'll get back to that phrase specifically. But here is a prescription for a whole and healthy life. All right, Galatians 2:6, previous verses to the ones we read. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Verse 8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Watch this. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. So I am complete in Jesus. What that means is, it doesn't mean you have already grown up and know everything. No, it just says you have all the parts. All the parts are there. All the pieces are in there. The thing now is to grow and see how things work. See what's in you. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, the baby, my granddaughter's right there, granddaughter Ivy there, Jonathan and Hannah's daughter's right there. And she heard her name, didn't she? And so, you know what? She's a year and some months old, and she is as much human as you and me.
Amen.
All right? Elder Hudson, I think, is the oldest person in here. And so, Mother Faree, there she is. Mother Faree, she got the prize today. Amen. All right. And 1 year, 1 year old, how many months now? 15 month old Ivy is as much a human as Mother Faree. Now, Mother Faree, Elder Hutz, all of us, we are way more educated. We're more of everything, except we're not more human. The point is, you are complete in Christ. It's all in there. Say, it's all in there.
It's all in there.
Amen. You just have to grow up into it.
Yes.
Learn about it. Renew your mind to it. See, one of the fallacies we have sometime in Christendom is this thing I heard once called the empty vessel syndrome. It goes like this. Come to our conference. Why? So you can get this from God. You can get that from God. Oh, I ain't going to that conference. I got all that. I got it all. It's all in there. I'm complete in Christ. Now, call the conference, learn who you are in Christ. Call the conference, discover who I have and what I have in Christ, right? Don't tell me I'm going to get something when I go there. That's the setup. You're going to get something all right. You know, King James talk about spirits that peep and mutter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't go look it up. Don't wait. But there are all kinds of spirits floating around. I got the spirit. Which spirit do you have? So he says, beware lest anyone cheat you. See, don't get cheated. You get cheated when somebody wants to give you what you already have. Listen, y'all, if I'm complete in Christ and you offer me something you say I don't have, it got to be something other than what Jesus gave me. It's something you made up. It's your invention. It's your imagination. It's your religious thing. Because I already have what I have in Christ. I'm complete in Christ. So I am complete in Christ. Who is the head of all principality and power. Now, if that's not enough, I don't know what to tell you. So it's not that we disrespect what God does. In fact, next slide says this. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. If you are complete in the one who has all principality and power, you don't need people who promise to give you what you already have. What we need is people to help us grow in our purpose and walk with God. So then, people cannot give you purpose in a walk with God. Only God does that. Our text said, Paul said, I don't set aside the grace of God. What is grace for? Grace gives you things, right? So then, people help us grow in our purpose and walk with God. Then we need to help other people grow in their purpose and walk with God.
Amen.
It's really quite simple. You're complete in Christ. So discover what that means. Let the Holy Spirit unlock in you understanding and wisdom. Let people help you with that. But people can't give you what you already have. So don't be an empty vessel going around. Like I often say, you go and go. Now, where are you going? I'm going to the deliverance meeting. Where are you going next? Well, I'm going next to the get set free meeting. That's the mindset. And sometimes preachers promote that. Make folk feel like, without me, you don't have anything without me. I thought Jesus said that. He the one said, without me, you could do nothing. Can't no person say that. No one can tell you that except Jesus. Without me, you can do nothing. So we have our part. We ministers have our important role, but it's to help people grow in understanding of what they already have. That's a big difference, y'all. That's a huge, I mean, I was raised in that. I got saved, thank God, in that message. We call it the word of faith, which is getting messed up today. But the concept was, the word of faith is what the word said that I believe. What Jesus said that I believe. Who he is in me that I believe. That's where it started. That was good. And then people made it into other things like name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. You know, my name is Jimmy. take all you can give me, all that kind of stuff came up. You know, religion, I don't care how good it starts, if people mess with it, they're going to mess it up. Just stay with the word, amen? Say, I'll stay with the word. Let's move on here. So let's come to this. Let me back up a minute. I want to say a few more things I left off. Let me back up here and go through some notes, read some things I wrote down. I want to share with you. There has always been a disconnect between the living God and people's understanding about God. Especially when people are not living a life centered on Christ, the Son of God, on the Holy Scriptures, on being a part of God's church, the body of Christ, and God's Holy Spirit leading. There are always influences seeking to disconnect us from Imago Dei. And disconnect from Imago Dei, image of God, to image of people, philosophies, with things that seem impressive. And there are definitely impressive things in this world. There are impressive people in this world. But don't let your image shift from God to them. Right? Don't make the celebrity, the athlete, your image. Don't do that. I mean, I enjoy sports. I've been watching the playoffs. I'm amazed at how hard these young men play. I mean, it's incredible the amount of effort they put in. Going 100 miles an hour, look like. And I laugh at things like the one kid who called LeBron James old. LeBron James is 38 years old. Now, most of us in here would say that ain't old, not all. But for basketball, it's getting up there. And so one kid, you're old. I don't care about you until you score 40, you know. And then LeBron then beat them by 40, you know. I mean, you know, at that level, there are people you don't want to mess with. Amen. That's right. I don't even like Tom Brady, but he's the GOAT, the greatest of all-time quarterback. They don't care if you like him or not. Don't say it to their face. They just embarrass you. So I'm impressed. I'm impressed with people like that. But I don't shift my image on them. My image don't come from them. I don't care how good they are, how good they look, how tall, powerful. I don't care what the situation is, circumstance. I've seen great things in this world. None of that changes my image. I'm Imago Dei, image of God. Amen? So really it helps because you can appreciate things better without getting caught up in stuff. Wife and I last month went to a Jonathan Butler concert. He's a believer, jazz musician from South Africa. Thoroughly enjoyed the concert. Great music, great time. But didn't leave up thinking, oh, Jonathan Butler, I gotta find Jonathan Butler. I gotta find him and meet him and touch his garment, him and his garment. No, I just like the music, you know? And he's an impressive person. But when you have Imago Dei, you don't cross the line. You can enjoy things better and not get caught up. Amen, somebody? Amen. You know, people sometimes who know they're impressive want to use that to kind of work you. And, sign up for this, sign up for that. No, I don't want none of that. I came to hear you speak and you spoke, and that's it for now. I'm not hooking up because I'm not following you like that. See, I don't need you like that. I need Jesus like that. Amen, somebody? Amen. So keep it all. Respect people, love people, highly honor people, but don't shift your image from God to them. Amen. All right. So Apostle Paul's day, the problem was, the concept was that Jesus was not enough. So we're not dealing with that. Thank God for us. Jesus is enough. Is he enough for you? Yes. Let's go now back to our text. We're going to finish up and look at these specific points in the text. Again, we read the text, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Let's take these one at a time, each of these phrases. He says, Paul wrote, I have been crucified with Christ, It is no longer I who live. Now, this is what it means, that when you understand, had Easter this early this month, and we talked about and, you know, relived the experience of Jesus on the cross and his death, his suffering and his death, and resurrection 3 days later. But the thing was, when he died, we died, because he did not die on the cross for anything he did. That's the main point. He did no sin. He did not sin. So he suffered and died for what we did. So then when he died, we died. The old version of us died. The sinful version of us died. You see that? And so that Paul said, so then looking at what he was dealing with in his day, those were saying him, Christ, not enough. You need this. You need this. And he said, no. Listen, all that died. When Jesus died, he took all that to the grave. All the means that people had to try to know God, all their methods to walk with God, all the religious practices, all that stuff just made people worse. And so Jesus died to all that. It killed him, and he took it to the grave. So Paul said, all right, I'm crucified with Christ. Therefore, it is no longer I who live. It's not that version of me is gone. That version of me has been crucified. Amen, somebody? Then he said, but Christ lives in me. So it's no longer I who live. The old, sinful, selfish versions of myself are dead. But Christ lives in me. In Colossians 1:27, the Apostle Paul wrote, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Phillips translation says, the hope of all glorious things to come. So just as the life we were living was leading us to death and misery and heartbreak and more sin, that life is crucified. And so now Christ lives in me. And so this is the most significant factor to a blessed and purpose-filled life. Please hear that. Christ living in you, in me, is the most significant factor. Now, listen, I've got advanced degrees on top of undergraduate degrees. I've got training and knowledge, and all that's great. I got a wonderful wife and beautiful family and all, and my dad. But the most important factor is Christ in me. Amen. Say Christ in me. Christ is the number one factor to my blessing and purpose. Y'all believe that?
Amen.
Yeah. So now next part of the text says, here's our main statement for the message today. And the life which I now live in the flesh, the life I live. Say the life I live. Now get your mind around this. You know, two things can be true. One thing is not your life. I had my life. I lived my life. And it wound up, I got all kind of trouble living my life. Now, some had less trouble, like Bertha had less trouble, you know. She's a good sinner, okay? I'm sure. I didn't know her then, but I'm sure she's a good sinner. But still a sinner. But some of us were like a hot mess. A flaming hot mess. All the time, you know what I'm saying? Living our life. So Paul said, the life which I now live in the flesh. It is my bodily life, my current life, he says, I'm living in Christ. So in a real sense, you are not living your own life. You are living another life. You're living the life that was given to you when you died and rose again in Christ. Like Jesus. He died suffering and wounded but rose victorious and healed. Same person, different life. Say, I'm the same person. Different life. Different life. That's what makes it so important to follow Christ, is that we have a different life. Now, we still deal with everything. You know, price of gas affects everybody the same. You know, we have to deal with COVID. Now, for folk who think that I'm saved and COVID won't touch me, well, they can say it in heaven now, some of them. Why are you in heaven for? Well, I thought COVID wouldn't, I thought it didn't need no medicine, see? It's the life you live, but it's still in the flesh. You're still in the earth realm. You are not exempt from stuff in the world. Amen, somebody?
That's right.
You have victory, you have solutions, but I don't know why people think that I'm so spiritual, this stuff can't touch me. Don't do it. Don't get it twisted. Somebody said amen. So then, let me go on here. This is beautiful. Now, his next phrase is, so the life that I live now, he says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There it is. The life that we live now, this version of life, same person, different life, it's by faith in God's Son. It's not by religious practice. Trinkets and beads and little books and things. It's not how we know. It's not how it works. It's because it's by faith. Because it's by faith that we have access to God's grace. Paul wrote that, you know, it's we have faith into this grace in which we stand. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So we don't set aside the grace of God, because grace is everything God has. It's everything he has. So I need to be in there. So the life I live is not one that you entirely control, though you're responsible for it. Most importantly, you get to live by the power of another. Say, I live by the power of another. It's not just by my own wits, my own education, but we're living by the power of God, because God loved us. Amen. Now, here's the next phrase. This is powerful. He says, Paul wrote, so I do not set aside the grace of God. God's grace is everything he has and makes available to you. Why would you set aside his grace? Which includes obedience to the word, being connected to the body of Christ, serving God's purpose, and being a doer of the word. Why would we set aside the very thing we need? It's like, okay, my car is broke. I got to fix my car, or whatever in the house, vacuum cleaner, whatever it is. And so I got some tools to fix it. You know what? I'm going to set all those aside. I'm going to set my tools aside and go work on the car. That makes no sense. Amen, somebody? You know, it's time for some photography. Ooh, I'm going to set my camera aside. It makes no sense. It's nonsense, you know. But why do we treat the word like that? And act like the grace of God, the power of God is not relevant to our situation. We know better, don't we? We know better. So then I thought about, you know, how would you function in your life, in your career, if you set aside your training, your education, all your experiences in your profession? How would you do your profession without your training, without your education and experiences? How would you do your job? You couldn't do it. So then the grace of God is the basis for everything we do. Say, the grace of God is my basis of operation. All right, final point. The life you live. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Again, Paul is dealing with people who were saying Christ is not enough. They were saying, Paul, you need this. People need that. Got to have this ceremonial washing of hands, all this. And so Paul said, look, if righteousness come by all that, Jesus died for nothing. If you tell me I got to do this and all that, the other, you know, and not trust Jesus, then you're saying Jesus' death meant nothing. So I say what you saying is nothing. I got a choice in this, you know what I'm saying? Folk can talk to you and you can ignore it. Amen? I did that, you know, when folks are really crazy, don't even respond to them. Don't even push back. Say, well, wow, have a great day. I got an appointment with who? Myself. Any place but here, you know what I'm saying? In other words, just don't even say that much. Just don't engage foolishness. Amen? Because you know this, if we can become righteous by any other means, Jesus died in vain. And that's the problem with these empty vessel syndrome type people acting like what Jesus did doesn't make the difference. You need me, my book, my, I almost said my tape series. You know, my downloads. You don't, I mean, no, my resources help you grow. But you cannot deliver people. Amen. That's not your job. Amen. Or make them think that without me, you can do nothing. That's what Jesus said. Right. Come on. You can't say that.
Right.
Amen? Yes. I mean, tell a Christ follower they can't get along without you, and watch how fast they drop you. You can't make it without me. Watch this. Don't give a faith man, a faith woman that impression. Don't tempt them with that, because they're going to show you we can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Not all things through _ put your name in. So you get the point. I'm belaboring the point, but I want us to really get hold to the fact that the life we live is empowered by the grace of God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Amen. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which belong to God. Amen. And there's all kind of space in there to enjoy life and have fun. You know, I mean, God doesn't kill joy. God creates joy. He's a God of helping us be happy in the right way. So there's no loss of life and joy in life for those who follow Christ. Not at all. It's just that we don't let our image shift from Jesus to the stuff over here and the things over there. I mean, I like cars and I like things and I like stuff. But because I know my heart is not in it, I can enjoy it. Pick it up and put it down. Amen. Buy it or not buy it. Mm-hmm. Buy it, give it away. Buy it and sell it. Yeah. Because that stuff is not what makes me. Yeah. Amen, somebody? Yeah. Father, thank you for this time today. Thank you for opening up our hearts and minds to your word, giving us insight, more insight into what it means, Lord, to be crucified with Christ. Mm-hmm.